This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to a recording of a special Sunday evening outdoor fellowship of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. This informal service is to give thanks to the Lord for the fruits He has blessed our church with because of its ministry with the inmates at the State Correctional Institute at Hunlock Creek in Pennsylvania. You will hear testimony from Jerome Mitchell and Ishmael Woodard, both former prisoners at Hunlock Creek.
Welcome. Nice to see all your faces. Welcome to Breezy Pines Farm and Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You're at both places. And I'm really excited about tonight. Glad you could come. We have two brethren that are going to give their testimony. And the brother Richard Waltz is going to lead us. And then we'll have some testimonies from the two brothers that are here with us. Ex-prisoners! All right, Richard.
You'll find, as you hear from both brother Jerome Mitchell tonight and also Ishmael Woodard, who we heard from this morning, he's going to continue his story tonight as well, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. As you will hear tonight, even as we mentioned this morning too, that the witness that these two fellows had in prison, an example to the brethren around them, even the fellowship that they were able to have with some of the corrections officers, some of the prison guards. We mentioned this morning that we've had the privilege of corresponding with 46 prisoners over the past 4 years, providing study Bibles to nearly 40. And this first brother that you're going to hear from tonight, Deb and the kids and I have visited him, Howard and I, and also Pastor Robbins and I, and then after Jerome got out of prison, when he was still at the halfway house, the elders, Bob Klotz and Pastor Robbins and I, had the blessing of visiting Brother Jerome at the house or at the halfway house. You're going to hear how the Lord is sovereign and how He opened the doors and blessed Brother Jerome as he found himself released more than 2 years ago, 2 years ago May. And as of this past week, he is now officially off parole, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing his testimony tonight. Brother Jerome Mitchell.
Hello, everyone. Wow. I mean, this day has finally come. You know, when me and my brother Ishmael finally meet outside of prison, and wow, it's been a journey that, like Rick said, only God can orchestrate, only His sovereignty. But really, my story is about God's amazing grace. I was born in Camden, New Jersey. My mother and father divorced when I was 2. My father moved to Florida. And my mother worked 2 full-time jobs for 16 years. She worked at Conrail Railroad, and she was a school teacher during the day from 8 to 3:30. And then from 4 to 12, she worked at the railroad. And my grandmother kind of watched us when she was working as I was growing up. And my brother at first got involved in alcohol and then later marijuana and drugs. And being my older brother, he kind of introduced me, not knowing the harm that things was going to lead into later in life. But I'm not blaming anyone, because God's sovereignty, His grace, His mercy got me here today. But I just wanted to tell you about a little bit of my background before I go into my testimony. At an early age, I was drinking, doing marijuana. I mean, 8th grade, you know, the influences of going to school. And, you know, as I got older, at 17, I joined the military, the United States Air Force. And I took my same bad habits with me. I was a medical service specialist, and eventually I ended up in prison there due to my alcohol, drugs, and my behavior. And you would think that would have taught me something, but God was not in my life now. My mother, she's a believer now, but as growing up, we went to church on certain occasions, Easter, Christmas, really wasn't enforced. Like I said, she was always tired, and my dad was in Florida. And, so church wasn't really enforced on us or the Bible. I'm going to speed up in and out of prison, in and out of rehabs, drug rehabs. Yet God's grace and mercy, I carry a scar here from God trying to stab me to death, but it was God's grace and mercy that kept me alive even that. Just to bring up a little story on just how God's grace is. What led me to prison this last time? I was living in Atlantic City and I was strung out again on drugs, but I was working in a casino. I was spending all my money on drugs. I was staying in the mission, although I was working the rescue mission. And the chaplain there said, listen, you need to get away from Atlantic City. There's a Salvation Army program in Wilkes-Barre, and I think it'd be perfect for you to get away. You know, quit your job and just get away, because what are you working for, you know? But I had to wait until I lose the job. I was, no, not yet. I'm all right, you know, just because I was supposed to pay rent and didn't pay rent. So he came to me as a gesture and saying, listen, you know, you don't have to wait till you lose the job. You can just tell them you resign and let's go to Wilkes-Barre to this program. You need to get away from Atlantic City. Eventually, I lost the job, and eventually I was beat down enough to say, wherever you want to send me, I'm ready to go. So they sent me to this year program, and this is like 6 months to a year in Wilkes-Barre, the Salvation Army program, where you sort clothes and work for them. They give you room and board, and it's a beautiful program. The people there was just great. I eventually graduated from that program. I landed a job at Wilkes University and the Ramada Inn. But the seeds that was planted then wasn't in deep ground, wasn't in deep soil, like Jesus said. As time went on, I didn't fill that void with Christ, and I didn't fill it at all. And now all kinds of things came back into my life. The drugs and alcohol in Wilkes-Barre came back. I was convicted of robbery, armed robbery, first degree. I had committed a string of robberies in Wilkes-Barre, but God's grace and mercy only, the DA said, look, we only gonna give you this one robbery. And that was God's grace and mercy. I was sentenced to 4 to 8 years, when in actuality I was looking at 40 to 80 years. So again, God's grace and mercy, if they would have went and got all those robberies that I committed, if I was found guilty. But the DA, for some reason, had mercy on me, the district attorney. I was out on bail before I went to prison. This is the moment God really came into my life. I was out on bail, and my lawyer said, listen, the best deal I can get was the 4 to 8 years. You turn yourself in Monday. So this is the weekend. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll turn myself in to do 4 to 8 years, no problem. Well, my suitcases was packed. I was going to run. You know, I said, no way in heck I'm going to actually turn myself in. You let me out on bail, but I'm not going to do the time. I'm not going to turn myself in. I'm going to run somewhere, anywhere, Florida. That way, as it get cold, I can sleep on the beach. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Well, I was living in sin with a woman. Her name was Patricia Marucci, and now she's found Christ. Christ found her, rather, well, came into her life. But I'm living in sin with her, this good woman named Patricia Marucci. And it's the day before I have to turn myself in, but my suitcase is packed because I'm not going. I don't know what the argument was about, but she's in one room crying. I called my mother in Jersey. I'm in Wilkes-Barre. I called my mother in Camden, New Jersey. I tell my mother, I said, look, you know, these prisons in Pennsylvania, I heard they're pretty rough. I'm trying to justify me running to her. So make a long story short, she's crying in Jersey on the phone. This woman I'm living with was crying in one of the bedrooms, and I hang up the phone. I walk into the bathroom. I look into the mirror, and what I saw back was that really the devil himself, the evil, wicked person that I was, the carnal mind, just total conviction of, Jerome, if you die right now, you're going to hell, you know? As I looked in that mirror, I fell to my knees in that bathroom, and I prayed to God to save me. You know, I said, God, please save me. At that moment, God came into my heart, came into my life, and told me, listen, you're going to turn yourself in. You're going to do your time, and I'm going to be with you throughout your years of prison. And I woke up that next morning bright and early, and I turned myself in. And they first sent me from the county jail to Camp Hill, not far from where I'm staying now, Camp Hill Prison. And I met some good brothers there, and I said to myself, all I'm going to do is read this Bible and literature pertaining to the Bibles. God had put that in my heart. From out of nowhere, I knew the Word of God was the only thing that's going to save me. I started out just reading the Psalms because I really loved the Psalms, how the emotions of the psalmist, you know, when things, you know, it felt like they was talking to me. King David, how he expressed himself in some of these psalms, how he sinned, how he repented, how he sometimes wanted to question God. Why is, you know, the rich got it easy or something? You know, I kept reading the psalms. Psalm 1 tells how the just man and the unsaved man. But I just was reading the psalms, read the psalms, and the Spirit of God had put men in my life, men and women that said, listen, we're going to help you. We want to study. Every Bible study that I went into, I just wanted to absorb the Word of God. The channel, even though now that I've learned more about these televangelists, but at the time, I just wanted to hear the Word. I just didn't want to do sports or anything else. So I'm turning on the channel, just wanted to hear the Word of God. You know, that's another thing with the TV evangelists. But I was praying eventually that God give me a good church. But he sent me from Camp Hill to this maximum security prison, Green, SCI Green, near Pittsburgh. And he wanted me he sent me there for a reason. I was waiting to go to Chester. That's a drug jail where you get help for drugs. But first, God wanted to send me there to learn a valuable lesson. This prison that they sent me to is where they send you when you get kicked out of prison. These are the worst of the worst. All of these guys have like 20 years. They have death row inmates housed there. He sent me to the maximum security prison. I was the only guy with a little bit of time on the whole block. The rest had 15 years, 20 years. And my 4 to 8 years wasn't that much to them. We used to pray for the men on death row when I went to church to give them strength. Maybe God have mercy on them, that maybe they don't go through with the execution. One day at church, the pastor said, we got a special guest here. This man was formerly on death row, and by the grace of God, the governor spared him. He has life in prison now. They're not going to execute him. So our prayers going toward this building called F Block, where they housed Death Row, it really wasn't real until I actually seen a man, you know, come out of Death Row. And he told his testimony, and I was amazed at how a man who committed a heinous crime, but yet the Spirit of God was in him. And he was happy not to die, happy that God spared his life, and he was happy to have life in prison now, where maybe he can talk to someone and spread the word of Jesus, what God does. Even though he knew he's going to die in prison, this man had the joy of the Lord and wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And I talked to him, and I realized I was free at one point, wanting to kill myself with the drugs and the alcohol. And here this man is thanking God that he has life in prison now. And his testimony just touched me. God wanted me to never forget that this man that got off of Death Row and was happy to have life in prison so he can tell the word of Jesus. He can spread the word about how Jesus saves. I spent 11 months at that prison before they finally shipped me to the prison in Chester, Pennsylvania. And they didn't give me parole in Chester. I was disappointed, but this is God's sovereignty. They sent me to another prison, SCI Retreat. And this is how God's sovereignty is, where he wanted me to get to know Ishmael. I got to this prison, and Ishmael was like a greeter. When you come in, he shake your hand. Hi, how you doing, brother? How you doing? Now, he was on A block, a housing block over here. I was on C block. And all I knew him by was coming to church and how you doing. But the Spirit was there. Hey, brother, how you doing? Big smile like he has now. And, you know, that's all, you know. I'll go to church and I say, okay. So we never really interact because we're on different blocks. One day, out of the clear blue sky, the guard said, Mitchell, pack up. You're moving to A block. I'm like, what am I moving to A block for? I'm comfortable right here. I don't want to pack up all. You know, I'm fighting tooth and nail not to move to A block. Pack up, I said, you're moving to A block. I pack up, and who do I see when I get there? Brother Ish. And the Spirit of God just, oh, wow, wow. Soon as I got there, I mean, the Spirit, we just became as one. We was both, he told me his story, I told him my story. But the Word of God was the main thing, how, you know, he was just absorbing all the books. He said, listen, we're going to start a Bible study. Finally, I got me a true brother in Christ. And listen, every day, me and Ishmael would go down. We put our Bibles before we even lock up so we say these good seats. And as soon as they let us out again, we run to the table and start the Bible studies. Through this, I didn't even know it was 46 men. Wow. Wow. Through this, I mean, we brothers that had the Spirit just would come and say, listen, I'm trying to learn about God. And oh my God, you know, there was a rule where only a certain amount of people can gather together. You know, the guards want total control. So if more than eight people is reading the same book or whatever, they try to break that up. You can only have four people. You know, they didn't want the word of God spreading. But again, God's sovereignty, you know, some guards said, hey, go ahead. You know, some guards didn't allow. But the Spirit of God was going to prevail. Through that, Brother Ishmael just, oh, wow. How can I even, words cannot describe the love I have for that brother, you know, it cannot describe. he just taught me so much on how to study the Bible, on just praying, on, you know, falling short and repenting and coming to each other in the confession of sin, and just everything that, you know, I needed, that God wanted to put into my life. Finally, he said, listen, there's some men that visit me, and I wanted to know, is it okay if they visit you too? Put them on your visiting list. I was like, sure. You know, visits was very rare since my family lived in Jersey. And I really didn't want people to come visit me in prison. It's something, you know. So I told my mother, I'm okay. I told my family, I'm okay. Everything's fine. I really didn't want them to see me there like that. But they did come and visit me. But Brother Rick and Brother Howard and Sister Agnes and Rick's family, the kids, Deb, Nathaniel, Hannah, Pastor Robbins, I mean, they came and visit, and oh wow, I mean, writing letters, just love that I've never felt before. True love. You know, when you're in drugs and alcohol, you've got friends that's not friends. I wouldn't call them friends. There's, you know, I've never had true friends until the body of Christ, until I met men and women in the body of Christ that love me for who I am. Drive miles. I didn't even know how far he drove when he do come visit me, because this is the first time I came to Waysport, and I didn't know it was that. I'm like, wow. I mean, wow. You know, to come way out there, 90 some miles, and visit me. Just things like that was touching my heart. Finally, it was time for me to make parole in May 7th, 2007. And let me just tell you a little bit about that. I'm getting ready to make parole, and I wanted to get sent to Scranton, because Scranton was about 20 minutes from Wilkesboro, and I heard they usually send you close to where you got busted at. And I'm saying, okay, Scranton it is. You know, I'm writing people, hey, I'm coming out, you know. God said, no way, Jose, are you going in Scranton? No. I'm sending you to Harrisburg. I know you don't know nobody in Harrisburg, but I'll set things up for you. Don't you worry. You just trust and obey. I like that song, Trust and Obey. I fought that too for now. Why are they sending me to Harrisburg? I got busted in Wilkesboro. I want to go to Scranton. God said, no, you're not going to Scranton. You're going to Harrisburg. Brother Howard knew I needed a church, so he got on the internet, and he seen Living Hope was somehow affiliated with a Sovereign Grace, even though it wasn't connected to this Sovereign Grace, but he looked at, you know, their statement of faith and made a phone call to Pastor Paul Michaels. And somehow the mail got mixed up or whatever, but Pastor Michaels didn't hear from me, and then Howard sent the letter again. Well, I think it came back, the letter, something. But I finally got the letter with Pastor Paul's number on it, and I called him. I said, listen, Mr. Howard Soffel gave me your number, and I'm Jerome Mitchell. I'm in the halfway house. He came over that day, met me. We talked about the Lord, just love of Christ. He told me his story, how he was an atheist at one time, but the power of God came into his heart, and now he's a pastor. And his wife, Cindy, he invited me over to his house. First, he invited me to church. I went to their church. I knew it was the church for me. Later on that day, we went over to his house. His wife, Cindy, cooked. His wife passed away in March, but she cooked a big meal. And, I mean, I just sat down. I couldn't believe just the love and the fellowship from a total stranger at that time, just saying, you know, look, I got a guy that just got out of prison, you know. And right away, they just took me in like that. And like I said, I had never experienced that type of love. A quick story. Cindy said, "What's your favorite meal?" So, wow, nobody ever asked me that before. So I said lasagna. You know, I just had it. I didn't have lasagna in years. The next time I went over there, she had this big pan of lasagna. I said, wow. I didn't think. Long story short, when I went to the halfway house with this lasagna, all the fellas were like, "Hey, Jerome, what you got there, buddy?" Yeah. I think our Bible study grew about 5 men after they tasted that lasagna. I'm not going to say it was a lasagna. It was the Spirit of God. But, wow. I mean, our relationship just grew. I'm now part of Living Hope Church. Instead of a service on like Wednesdays, we have what they call care groups every other Wednesday there. Small groups where we fellowship. I mean, it's just been a blessing. 3 days after getting out, I was working for this temp agency just to show how God even provided financially, you know, because my first day, my parole officer said, "Well, you know, you owe thousands here, thousands there, I don't even have a job yet." This is the first day I meet my parole officer. All he's talking about is, "How you going to pay these fines we got?" I'm like, "Listen, let me get a job first. I'll pay." Well, 3 days after getting out, I started working for a temp agency, and I worked at the Hershey factory. And it was hard work. Prison work is hard, but believe me, you work at Hershey Chocolate Factory, they have an assembly line where, you know, you got to keep up with this candy that's coming. And I'm like, oh, slow that thing down. This is the first day. Hold up. But I finally got used to stocking those candy, boxes of candy. And I worked there. I filled out other applications that was closer in Harrisburg. Finally, the Comfort Inn in Harrisburg called me. So I gave up the Hershey job. I didn't have a car, and it was a good job, Hershey. But the Comfort Inn was real close. I started working there. Let me tell you about this interview, because when you fill out an application and you have a criminal record, only the Spirit of God can get you that job, you know. Only God. Let me just tell you a quick interview. I filled out an interview and I turned it in, and I at the front desk, and the lady looked at it. Okay, I'll give it to the boss. I felt like a negative vibe that she seen my address. You know, it's the halfway house, that she might have seen. Do you have ever been convicted of a crime? So I felt a negative vibe. So the next day I call and I say, "May I speak to the head of housekeeping?" And she finally gets on. Her name was Sue. They told me her name. So I said, "Sue." She said, "What?" I said, "Sue, I'm the man for the job." She said, "What job?" I said, "Any job, Sue, any job." So she said, "Who's this?" I said, "This is Jerome Mitchell. I filled out an application yesterday." She looked for about 20 minutes for this application, couldn't find it. I said, "Okay, I'm not going to say nothing." But she couldn't find my application. She said, "You know what? Come in tomorrow, fill out another application. This time I'll be there." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Sue, my favorite football team is West Virginia." For some reason, she had an accent, but I didn't know what kind of accent it was. But the Spirit of God just came to me, because I just saw West Virginia college football team play. And I just said that. She said, "Is this some kind of joke?" I said, "What are you talking about, Sue?" She said, "I'm from West Virginia, and in my van, all I have is West Virginia everything in it." I said, "Sue, I do not know you, Sue. This is not a joke. I just said I like West Virginia football." She said, "This is some type of joke. Who put you up to this?" I said, "Sue, no one put me up. I don't know anyone here." So she said, "You come in tomorrow. We're going to talk about this." So I came in. She seen the criminal background and said, she asked me a question. She said, "Are you a criminal?" And now she see a paper saying convicted of robbery. And now She asked me, was I a criminal? No one has ever asked me, was I a criminal? And I thought about it because it caught me off guard. And what I thought of, I said, no, Sue, I am not. What I thought of was the blood of Jesus and covered all of that. I am no longer a criminal. I am cleansed by the blood. I said, no, Sue, I am not a criminal. Have I committed a criminal act in the past? Yes. Am I a criminal now? No, I am not a criminal, Sue. And she looked at me, and she almost seen tears probably come out of my eyes, but she said, you know, you're hired. You start tomorrow. And I was there for 2 years. I recently left that job because, one last story, and then I'm going to let you go. Now, the Comfort Inn is right across from the hospital. I was cutting through the hospital to go to the Comfort Inn when something said, ask, are they hiring? Now, I'm thinking, look, this is a hospital. They're not going to hire me. I got a criminal background, robbery. But something said, just ask. So I'm walking through the hospital. I see one of the housekeepers there. And I said, excuse me, are y'all hiring, you think? She said, yeah, Jerry just fired 5 people yesterday. I said, uh-oh, maybe it's this guy's working. So I said, oh, really? I said, one last question. Do they hire convicted felons? She looked at me. She said, I don't know about that, but some of the guys that work here look like they've been in prison. I said, that's a good enough answer for me. I'm going to fill out an application. Again, let me just tell you how the Spirit of God is. I filled out an application. She said, talk to a guy named Jared. He's ex-military, 25 years, and believe me, he don't take no mess. He catch you out of place, out of area, not doing no work. He writing you up. So I said, Jared, I'm your man. I heard you need a floor man. So he gave me this quick quiz. Okay, how do you strip and wax the floor? I said, okay, you put on the stripper. Okay, get the edges, buff it up, pick it up. Okay, good. He said, but can you work the machines? I said, yes, I can work the machines. Now, I'm thinking a little buffing machine. He take me in this room. I see these machines look like Volkswagens. These things are like this. These things are, I'm looking around. I'm like, God, I need you on this one. He said, okay, this is the T5, this is the 3400. Yeah, I can handle these machines. Yeah, I can do it. He said, okay, listen, we're going to see about, what's up with this criminal robbery stuff? I said, look, back in 2001, I was strung out on drugs, made a mistake, committed a crime, but that was the past. And so days went by. I didn't hear from him. So I said, I'm going back there. I said, have y'all made a decision? He's like, oh, I'm talking to my big bosses. We don't know. I kept going every day because I was going that way anyway to go to the Comfort Inn. I kept stopping by every day saying, look, I'm the man. Just give me a chance. Finally, I'm walking on 2nd Street one day where I live, and I see Jerry driving. So I say, Jerry, did y'all make a decision yet? He looking at me. He said, man, I can't get away from you. Look, come in tomorrow. I'm going to give you this job, you know. And that's that persistent prayer that the Bible talks about. When the lady kept asking, and I kept asking for that job. And I've been at the hospital. It'll be 2 years in September. But I just wanted to give those two testimonies of how the power of God covered my criminal background check. Even every time I filled out that application and I put that down, there's something still there that says, wow, man, you was like that. But then again, that's my testimony. And I just wanted to let you know it was all God. And I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank God. Amen. Amen. Brother Brick.
Oh, man. That's great.
Love you, man.
Hey, I love you.
Whenever we
find ourselves in the direction of Harrisburg, we try to look up Brother Jerome. And the last 2 years for the homeschooling convention, he's gone with us. And he doesn't have any kids or anything, but he enjoys going to the seminars. So we've enjoyed taking him with us. But I told you that you would enjoy his testimony. The Lord even provided, after the initial apartment that he was supposed to be approved in with the parole board, it turned out to be a cockroach-infested, rat-infested place, and he nearly lost his down payment on the security deposit when he couldn't move in there. But the Lord provided again. As he was walking down the street, he saw a sign, and it turned out to be a Christian landlady, and the apartment is within walking distance of both of his jobs. So, there's more to Jerome's story, and hopefully we'll hear more of it as time goes along. But we've enjoyed the fellowship with him, and now we're going to turn it over again to Brother Ishmael Woodard. He was the leader of the Bible study at Hunlock Creek, and as you heard this morning, he has quite a story, but it's not his story, it's the Lord's story, and he deserves all the honor and glory. So, Brother Ishmael.
All I can say is ditto. Ditto to what Brother Jerome said. I don't know what I can add to that. Our life before Christ was similar. All that the depravity of heart in mankind, the wickedness that is in each and every person, just has its way with us before Christ. And it's but the grace of God and His sovereignty and salvation in calling sinners out of darkness into His light, into the kingdom of God. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. What I did in prison, I did because of my love for Christ. I didn't know what I was doing. All I was doing was getting to know Him. And I found the more that I read His Word, the more that I meditated on His Word, it just had me take a whole nother direction. And I wanted to, again, I just wanted to, I couldn't help but to, it was spilling over onto other people. There were COs that would come to my prison door, to my cell, after count, when everybody is supposed to be locked in, saying, Ishmael, get your Bible. I want to ask you some questions. It's really amazing. There's no place God is not. He's there with the men. He's saving sinners everywhere. And He's using us. He's using us. And you can never, you know, his arm is not short. His arm is not short to save. It was during the Bible studies that I impressed the importance of being rooted and grounded in a local church. Men were getting out of prisons, leaving their Bibles behind. Men were being paroled, and then in months, weeks, there was one guy to come back the same day after being released from prison. Unbelievable, right? The same day. But I began to impress upon the men in our study group the importance of being, contacting a church where they thought that they may be paroled or if they were going back home, and then developing a relationship, you know, getting to know the church, allowing the leadership to know them. And then by the time that they're paroled, they'll have a place and a family in Christ to be an active participating member of. And what Jerome didn't mention is that before, about the same time that the Lord was sending the leadership of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church to us, unbeknownst to us, and Brother Howard Soffel, Jerome and I went up to the library, got a dictionary, and we went, and he says, well, how do we find a church? So I says, well, let's go up to the library, let's pull out the dictionary, And we got, I think, the business dictionary, telephone book. Telephone book, right? And we just went undersea and we looked at church for churches. I says, well, look for like Sovereign Grace churches, Reformed churches, something with the word reform in it, Reformation in it, right? I says, we can't go wrong, at least too far off the beaten path if we, you know, start there. And we looked and we jotted down five addresses. Says, okay, now we're going to write these churches and we're going to just, you know, let them know, you know, that we desire, you know, to have fellowship and to correspond with them. And Jerome wrote the five churches and only one of them responded. But then when Jerome followed up on it, there was no answer. There was no response. I'm telling the story right, right? Okay. And it was about that time that the Lord had sent by, again, his divine providence is, you know, has taught us so much, you know, how he's just right there when you need him and you're praying for something. Like he sent Gabriel, the angel, to Daniel, you know, while he was seeking to find out, you know, how long, Lord, will we be in captivity? You know, how long? And the angel tells him, he says, while the words were still on your lips, God sent me to give you understanding. And he sent the men, the leadership from Sovereign Grace Church, Brother Howard Saffel, and the same way that by way of his word, because it was his word that connected us to Pastor Robbins. And it was this church. It was you people. It was you that were the arms that embraced us through Brother Rick Waltz and Howard and Pastor Robbins. And we owe you a debt of gratitude for your prayers, for your love, for your faithfulness to Jesus, for not being afraid to make contact with dirty, rotten, no good for nothing sinners as us, you know. He knows that the Lord knows the worst about us, and yet he died for us, you know. And God has made a tremendous impression on Brother Jerome's life. I am encouraged by seeing what he's done with Jerome, what he's done in the lives of the other men, Louis Ferreira, Dylan, Elliot, Brother Rick says, 46 men at least. And, God is working, and he's calling people to even today out of darkness and into his light. And we have to be his legs. We have to be his arms. I was in prison, and you came to me. When did we see you in prison, Lord? When you have done this to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. And we give God the glory. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen, brother. Thank you.
We're going to turn it over to Pastor Robbins now for, I think, a few moments or a few words.
Well, I've enjoyed that tremendously. My heart's been stirred. There is an aspect that I do think you ought to know. As elders in this church, we have to agree upon matters. And when we don't agree, we just wait a while. And I want you to know, Brother Bob Klotz, Elder Klotz, he's really been behind this. And in case some of you don't know who Brother Klotz is, Bob, would you stand, please? We want you to see, this is the man, and he's the one that has also encouraged our sending of these Bibles. We're a small church, and I'll be very frank with you, we're not very financially strong, and it does cost about $35 to send a Bible, a Reformed Reformation Bible. So I appreciate your cooperation in this down through the years. The second Sunday of every month, this church has what we call a congratulation fellowship, which simply means there are people who have birthdays, anniversaries, graduations and so forth, and we just say, well, let's meet together and have some refreshments, and we sit down and talk and have a little informal time. And so this is the second Sunday of July, and so we thought we'd have it outside. I'm glad you came. Let's have prayer, shall we? Indeed, Lord, it is a privilege that to call upon thee and to know you hear us because of Christ's work at Calvary. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the testimonies of these two brothers and how you have used them. We ask your blessing. Continue upon them and direct them. Give them your very best, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for the folk that have come out tonight. I ask your blessing upon each one individually, collectively, as church or churches. We ask for your help. We ask that you might be pleased with us, that we might do that which you would have us to do. Once again, for our Lord Jesus, his love for us at Calvary, taking our sins, becoming sin, taking on the wrath that we deserve, taking our Father, our hell. Once again, we thank you for our blessed Lord Jesus, working each of our lives. Receive our thanks for time together, for this food that we're going to enjoy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.